So let's first of all, thank you very much to Jody Crane and family for hosting the shiur. Thank you very much. We have many beautiful, wonderful events and simchas in your home. Okay, it's good to see everybody. We're supposed to be talking about women and Pesach. What's that? Can't see the relationship. Okay. Anything else we should talk about?
Very apropos.
Okay. So, women have all the mitzvahs of Pesach that men do. They probably have many more mitzvahs of Pesach than men. The Gemara says, you know, you would imagine many of these mitzvahs are fit under the category of mitzvos asei shazman grama, time-bound positive commandments. Maybe they shouldn't apply to women the same way. But we learn, the Gemara learns from Sukkim, and the Gemara also says a rationale that says that af hein hayu bo sohanes, that women were also part of the miracle. Now what does it mean when it says that women are also part of the miracle? The Gemara says that in a couple of places. It says women have the same obligations on Chanukah as men because they were also part of the miracle. Women have the same obligations of Purim as men because they were also part of the miracle. What does it mean? So one way to understand it is that they're also part of the miracle. The Jewish people were threatened. It didn't discriminate between men and women. We were saved, men were saved, women were saved. Everybody has to join in celebration of what happened. But there's a different interpretation, which is found in the Rishonim. Rashi quotes this interpretation that says that it doesn't mean that they benefited from the miracle, but they brought about the miracle. The story of Purim is brought about by Esther, the story of Chanukah, so we have Yehudis, who was the heroine in the story of Purim. And the story of Pesach was also brought about by women, because, as the Gemara says, it was in the merit of the righteous women of that time that the Jewish people were redeemed. So, what I would like to talk about is, I don't know what you're expecting when you see a title, Women and Pesach. What were you expecting? Anybody want to volunteer? What were you expecting? Recipes?
Inspiration.
Inspiration? Go for it. Okay. Okay. So I want to, we like to learn together. At least I like to learn with you. So we're going to learn a little bit about what this means in the merit of Nashim Shit Sitkan Yashaboso Hadar, in the merit of the righteous women. What did the righteous women, what's it referring to? What did the righteous women of the time do? And I want to therefore share what I think may be a continuous practice of this lesson, and one which is especially worthwhile to think about, because preparation for Pesach, pre-Pesach season, is a stressful time. It can be, you know, challenging and difficult, and a lot of what we're going to learn about, a lot of what happened there, could be sort of a guidepost, a way of thinking, of viewing what in general would be the role for the Yom Tov of Pesach and generally. What does it mean? What are Chazal referring to when they say that it was in the merit of the righteous women of that time that the Jewish people were taken out of Mitzrayim? So the Gemara tells a story about what happened there. But I'm not going to tell you the story yet. Some of you may know the story. If I would ask you, just throw out to you the question, in the merit of righteous women, the Jewish people were saved from Mitzrayim, what would you say? Without knowing the specific story, what you know from the Chumash. Anybody want a name?
Miriam.
Miriam. Perfect. Miriam. Maybe Miriam, together with Yocheved, who were the two midwives, Chazal tell us, who rejected Paro's edict that they should throw all the Jewish children into the river, and they withstood that. But nobody here said Yocheved, as far as I heard. Everybody said Miriam. Why did you say, you said Yocheved? Okay. Very quietly. Okay. Well, Miriam won. what's Miriam beyond Yocheved? What's Miriam and Yocheved? So, but Miriam and Yocheved were both Shifra and Pua. They were both the midwives who resisted the decree to kill Kola ben Hayilud, all the born children. We have more about Miriam. And we have two specific things which we know about Miriam in the story, one from very early on and one from much later on. Well, we know about Miriam from 80 years or 81 years before Yetzias Mitzrayim was the following. Paro made a decree, and the decree was Kola ben Hayilud Ha'orot Hashlichu, all the boys should be killed. All the boys who are born should be killed. As a result of that decree, Chazal tell us that the natural reaction which would happen would be that people would not want to have children. Why have children to be born to such a terrible end? And so Amram and Yocheved, Miriam's parents, two leaders, important personalities in the Jewish people who had been married, they separated from each other. They broke up their house. They said, it's not the right time, it's not the right framework, why should we go ahead with this? Why should we lose? And Miriam, Chazal tell us, got them back together. Miriam confronted her parents, and she said that your decree is more intense than the decree of Paro. Because Paro lo gazar ela al hazchorim, Paro only decreed against the males. Okay, now you're familiar with that line because we say that with Arami Ovidovi versus Lavan in the Haggadah. But what she said was, Paro said, if you have a boy, heaven forbid, they would be killed. But you, if you're refusing to marry, you're precluding the possibility of having boys or girls. And Paro is only ending their life in this world. But you, by refusing to even be together and conceive of a child, are depriving them of any existence whatsoever in this world or in the next. It's a very intense argument that Miriam was making. Imagine someone would say, here, have the child, because they'll have existence, even though they'll get taken away from this world right away. But they still had life. And that means that they will live for eternity. And just as a parenthetical note, this is something that, you know, heaven forbid, sometimes, Lailen Rahman al Islam, someone leaves this world at a very, very young age. Very, very, you know, few things are as sad as that that happened in the world. Miriam told her parents, get back married, have children, knowing that this is going to happen, because you will still have created a child that will be there for eternity. It won't be around for you to hold them, for you to watch them grow up, but they will still, when you bring them into existence, they will be there forever. La'olam haba, for eternity. So Miriam got Amram and Yocheved to get back together, and when they got back together, everybody else got back together. What was Miriam's argument? This Isha Tzidkonis, this righteous woman. Paro was using the method which many others tried to use since, which was destruction, but even more than that, utter demoralization. Who would want to do that if this is where it's going to end up? And where Paro tried to darken the eyes and the hope of people, Miriam said, one second, there's still possibility. There's still something which can grow there. Optimism. Excuse me, it's like a very simplistic word, right? But that was what she was. That was her message. Her message was optimism. If you think that's you know, maybe just, you know, not enough or not proven enough, there's another exercise of the strength of Miriam. And this comes 81 years later, when the Jewish people are leaving Mitzrayim, when they've left Mitzrayim already, when we crossed over the Yam Suf on what we would have as the seventh day of Pesach, and Klal Yisrael breaks out in Shira, in song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after the Pasuk says how Moshe and the Jewish people sang the song to Hashem, what do we have next? Miriam goes out to lead the women in song. And they went out b'tupim u'b'mecholos, with tupim, with drums, tambourines, whatever it was. Chazal say, how's that? Miriam told the Jewish women, pack musical instruments. We're going to have what to sing about. That's the Nashim Tzidkaniya Shabai Sehadar. That's the righteous women of that time. Now, none of this is what it says in the Gemara when it makes that statement. This is just what we know about Miriam Hanaviyah, who was the leader of the women. In Chazal, in many different places, they explain that the Jewish people had three leaders. We were led by a triumvirate. Moshe Rabbeinu was the prophet, the Torah leader, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, and Miriam was the leader of the women, of the Jewish people who left, when we left Mitzrayim. There was she was the Rebbetzin. And Miriam, so this was Miriam. This is what we know a little bit about Miriam. This was what she did. This was what she got people, her parents, not to lose hope, to realize possibility. And of course, because of her work, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was born. If her parents hadn't got back together and had actually a boy, and a boy that was spared, so there wouldn't have been anything. That was the Nevuah. Chazal says, Miriam is called Miriam HaNeviah because she had a Nevuah. She said, I know you're going to have a child who's going to save the Jewish people. So this argument, which wasn't an argument really about the leader and the savior of the Jewish people, it was about don't close down the possibilities. Paro is threatening something on a specific aspect if something happens, but you are closing down every possibility. Leave open possibility. And that's what Miriam does. And the truth is that the B'nai Yisrael, the rest of the Jewish people, the Nashim Tzidkani Shabayse Adar, were her students. They followed her example. What does the Gemara say? What the Gemara says about these righteous women of the time was that life for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim was very, very hard and very, very intense. And the men were out working in the fields and they were completely black, nothing. And the Gemara says that the Nashim, the women, would go and they would go out to the field and they would take out to them something. They would take out water, warm water, that they would be able to be bathed and cleaned. And they would bring them to some degree back to life. They would bring them back to life. And in bringing them back to life, they would actually also interest them. And from that was born the future generation of the Jewish people. The Gemara says famously that the kior, the wash basin which was used in the Mishkan, was made from mirrors which were donated by the Jewish women. What were they? They were the mirrors that they used at that time. And Moshe Rabbeinu was at first a little put off. Maybe this doesn't belong in a holy place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the most precious gift that anybody gave to the Beis HaMikdash, more than the gold and more than the silver, was this. Because what it did was, it brought back hope and life and connection. It brought back hope and life and connection, and in that way it gave birth to the future, the generations that would populate the Jewish people, and would end up leading the time. Now when the story says that Miriam and her mother, the two midwives, that they did their thing, it says that Hashem rewarded them and made for them Bakim, made for them houses. What do you mean that he made for them houses? We have a different interpretation of Rashi says. The Kuna, giants, Malchus, royalty. The verse says, made for them. And the word, Bakim, is a very important word when we talk about the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Because when we left Mitzrayim, and we served Hashem before leaving Mitzrayim, everything was about the houses. The Jewish people's safe haven was where? In their houses. They put the mezuzah on the doorposts of their houses. they had to stay in their houses. That was going to be the safe place. The Gemara says, when you bring an offering, you put it in the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach, on the altar. What happened in the desert? What happened in Mitzrayim, excuse me? Says the Gemara, the doorposts of the house, each one was in the desert. Hashem was looking on. What Hashem did for them was, He built for them houses, because these were going to be the model leaders of Israel. These were the ones who on their account, Hashem took the Jewish people out of Israel. This is how he built the house. He built the house. And I think this is eminently applicable. When we read such a discussion, when we read the statements of Chazal about how the people that were all distracted, downtrodden, out there in the field, people working with is cracking over them. And it's an image from very far away. But it's not. It's not. That was part of slavery. Right? It had its own specific flavor, and it was a great illustration in the Kabbalists. If somebody would make a contemporary Hebrew, and it wouldn't be with Tyler, and he would talk about all the kinds of things, all the kinds of affliction and difficulties that we have, so it wouldn't be with a what would it be with? Would there still not be the issue of people who are working so hard to distraction that it's hard to be able to somehow bring them back to life, to connection, to be thinking about, okay, what's next? Needs to be hopeful. I'm getting hopeless. They work hard. They're not lacking any hope. This optimism, the optimism of connection, of people being, building the spirit of one another, is really fundamental for creation of the unit called body, called a home. Very practical contemporary picture. And it's not unique. Now we all struggle. Everyone works hard. Everyone works hard. Finally comes Rosh Shabbos. Shabbos comes. And what's Shabbos supposed to be?
Time of rest. Time of.
Now everybody comes together. But rest doesn't mean, okay, I'm exhausted, so I get the rest. The next week I get the rest. Shabbos is supposed to be the destination. The destination, the goal. I work hard in order to be able to arrive at this. This is what it's about. You know, it says Hashem rested on the seventh day. Hashem was tired. It was a long 6 days creating the world, you know. Day after day, oceans and everything else. All Hashem says is, let there be life. Let there be an ocean. Let there be this. You know, it wasn't hard work. What does it mean that it was a day of rest? It was the destination. It was the goal. What was that? But you know, you get there. You get to Shabbos, and it ends up oftentimes just being a day of rest. Not a day of destination. I'm still exhausted. Tired out. And I just catch your breath for long enough to be able to go back out there and taste the same stuff all over again. The picture of a bias, the picture of a home, of a unit, of people coming together, the picture of a destination, of something that's looked forward to, of an aspiration, something that we're hopeful about, excited about, not just, okay, here we go again. You understand what I'm talking about? You understand that it's a task
and a kind of positive sense to negative sense, but it's a mission that we would have to be able to ignite that spark of optimism, of something to look forward to, of living towards something. So we can speak to the end about women and Pesach in this regard. We could talk about men and Pesach too, okay? But
when I say, and we'll have a shir in somebody's house on Monday night, the men, none come. Right? But the
Pesach is a lot of, there's a lot that goes on. People make Pesach a tremendous amount for preparation and many tremendous amount of investment. It's a big job. It's a big job. And the path towards Pesach can be a path of I've got those Pesach blues or Sunday blues. Some words I'm missing there, right? Right? The blues, you know? Here it comes, Pesach blues or whatever it is. I love everything else that he sings. But that. the sense of, okay, here we go. And there is, imagine ourselves, take ourselves back from Mitzrayim. And we've had decades of shivud, decades of slavery. And imagine we're preparing for that first Pesach. Imagine we're preparing for that first Pesach. According to Chazal, they didn't have to get rid of all the concepts. So you can understand they could have had an easier time. Imagine we did. Right? But imagine that they did. And imagine we're preparing for that first Pesach. Pesach is liberation, is freedom, is connecting to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu after, you know, after the big things, something to look forward to. Pesach is Chodesh HaOviv, it's Chag HaOviv, it's the festival of the springtime. Was anybody outside yesterday? Was anybody outside today?
Yes.
Yesterday too. So, what was the difference? I know what was different on the ground. I want to know what was different inside of you.
The sun was shining.
Thank
when,
God.
And when the sun is shining outside, it's the world of possibility opens, not the world of slush. Right? You know, there's a yesterday, it was like, oh my gosh, again. Will this ever end? Right? And today, you go outside, and spring is in the air, and it's beautiful. That's the chodesh of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is possibility. And Yetzias Mitzrayim is specifically possibility because it came when the Jewish people have been so low down, and then, kaboom, possibility. It's about igniting possibility. It's about the fact that Klal Yisrael never reaches and crosses over the threshold of Yush, of despair. Remember, Sil Solomon should be well. He comes here usually during the 9 days. Speaks to Lakewood at some meeting. Many years he still told the same story that he spoke. When he spoke, he said, since it was really a beautiful story, he said that there was he heard personally from a Holocaust survivor that he said that he was talking to him. He said, I want you to know what kept me going. What kept me going? You know what kept me going? Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana, the blessing that you make on the new moon, you're supposed to make. After the third day of the night, the moon starts shining till mid-month. That's long as the moon is going. He said,
flavor in the quarries. And we look up, and we see the moon, the condition as the moon is going. And we remember he stopped and he said, Kiddush Levana. And the speaking of Kiddush Levana, he refers to the Levana in the story that it is a Keres Tiferes L'Amisa Zohar. It is the crown and glory for those born in the day, those carried in the valley. Sheheim Asidim Yitzchadesh Kamasa. But they will be renewed like the moon. Look at the moon. The moon is renewed. It starts up again. It goes down, 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 down. Disappears. And then starts up again. And that is the glory of humankind that we understand. We could go down. But it doesn't just go down and disappear and drop off. There's always Kiddush. And he says, when we were there in the most depressive environment, circumstances, a situation which would seem to spell hopelessness, instead, we said Kiddush Levana. And we said, Hashem Asidim Uskarish Kamasa. We're also going to go back up again. We're also going to back up. And that's what helped us. That's what made us make the Yom Tov Pesach schedule for the season of Kiddush Levana. Hope springs eternal of bringing it back, and to have our home in this framework, in the framework of this, the greatest gift that anybody can give, the greatest gift of a Jewish education in terms of knowledge. I mean, the kind of Jewish education which is necessary to have future generations of Jews, which is not simply knowledge of Torah and Mitzvot, but love of Torah and Mitzvot. Love of Torah and Mitzvot. That's the job of families, that's the job of schools. Of course, people have to learn things, they have to know what to do. They have to become educated, they have to become literate. But if they don't love it, they leave it. The joy of Mitzvot. And the framework of preparing for the Yom Tov with all of its shayim, with all of its challenges and difficulties. We need, every one of us, needs to try to infuse with that sense of the excitement, the hope, the anticipation, the chance to bring people together to be used. Speak here and think here about the challenges to the world that we need to hope. Sometimes challenges to hope are the challenges that the women faced in this right. It was a really difficult situation with no inside. And to that, Miriam was the Rebbe, Miriam was the Rebbe, Miriam was the teacher. Come on, as long as there's room for anything, there's possibility, there's something to hope for. There's the other part, which is not so much about hopelessness, but it's about burden. When you're working so hard, so the slavery to power and strength, you could say, could be mixed with hopelessness, of the kind of depressed, that it's not going to be good, they're trying to destroy us. But there's simply the busyness, which is not hopeless because of the feeling that it's headed towards a terrible end. But because busyness creates fatigue instead of aspirations, instead of inspiration, instead of excitement. And that's also an avoda of Miriam. That's also an avoda, that's also a task. Yet it behooves everybody to be able to put together. When we don't aspire to something together, when we try to build something together, there's no team. There's no bias. That's, I think, the most important basic message which I would want to share. Yom Tov of Pesach is the opportunity of creating together,
creating a sense of home, family, community, nation, belonging to something big.
It's where we all sit around the table and we try to fulfill the mitzvah of giving over what we're about to future generations. And the preparations for Pesach, the whole process, is part of that. It doesn't get fulfilled by sitting down and eating soup.
It gets filled by the plan, the hope, the aspiration, the looking towards something,
which is what unites people and families with excitement around the mission and something which we want. Because I'll tell it historically, no one's a job for a man.
I'm not going to explain to you why. I can't explain to you why.
But that's what they're all about. Remember, remember to do that. Remember to do that. Remember to inspire that kind of sense of hope. Men, you know, somebody's beating them up, they get depressed, they overweight.
Men have to be on top all the time, you know, that's the way it is. And
whatever it was, I don't know. I'm not gonna wax psychological about why it's the case. All I know is that Chazal teach us that was the case. And presumably, it also is. Inspire each other, the people around us, with a sense of purpose, aspiration, and magnetism. Rich sense of excitement and of possibility. That's what makes for us happy. That's what makes for us happy. That's what makes for us a family, a nation, and special charge. So don't let if I can, moving from the, so to speak, inspirational part of the program to the practical part of the program, if I may, that two things that we just say that I think are worth noting in this, in order to keep the preparations for Pesach of something positive towards the future. So first of all, this is what the kind of thing that a man would say, so please don't throw anything at me. Okay. But one doesn't have to overdo it. Okay? Now what does that mean? What does it have to overdo? If I'm gonna say it like a man, okay, I'm sorry. I'm gonna say it like a rabbi man. Okay? I'm gonna give it a rabbi. So, you know, I always try to tell people, dust is in chametz, a place where food does not go, does not need to be eaten for Pesach. Okay? You understand? Your sock drawer does not need to be cleaned for Pesach, unless that's where you hide the really good stuff. You know, but you know, you don't, right? Makom she'ein machisim b'chamas ein tzarech tzedika. Your bedroom would have to be cleaned for Pesach. If, you know, sometimes you might be on Mother's Day, somebody brings you breakfast in bed, or sometimes you go to sleep with a. Right, that would be something to be optimistic about, right? sometimes you might go to sleep, you might say you're not feeling good, or you want a little snack at night. It's a place, a bedroom for most people is a place where you bring in coffee. Bathroom? Yeah. You go through whatever the cabinets that hold things that might really be fun. You know, perfume, lipstick, you know, things like that. Now,
eyeliner and mascara, and you don't have to go read the list for your shampoo unless it's the one with beer, you know, the one that needs to advertise, and so on and so forth. Or oatmeal, you know, because that, you know, things like that. You don't have to do. You don't have to check the funds, the place for funds, and that's important. It's important. And you know, that's how, you know, on that side of things, you know, kitchens have to be cleaned well, and have to be kosher well, and so on and so forth. And
Rabbi Howard, does that really apply though if you have little children or you have a pet that goes everywhere and spreads? I mean, you know the pet.
If you have little children, you have to be much more. You have to be much more concerned, vigilant, depending on the habits of your children. There are children with different things, different habits. You know, do pets go into drawers with food? I don't know. Those kind of things. Just, yeah. Any place where machnisim by chametz for chametz. So I just filing cabinets. You know. I mean, no. There are lots of places where a machnisim by chametz. You know, where we go. You know. This one is really. This isn't rabbinic. This is manly. So I should probably stand back a few feet. But there's a mitzvah of eating yachikana. Okay. A mitzvah of eating yachikana. You can only eat the Yafikema if you have an appetite left. If you have an appetite left. So I'm telling you, that's a strong thing. You know, like people, they have to eat matzah in the beginning, they have to eat matzah and kerif, they have to eat other things, and then they have to eat Yafikema. So you want to have a nice meal. You know, on Pesach night, with five side dishes, it's leaf naive or seeking mitzvah. You're causing them not to fulfill the mitzvah of Afikaima. Don't do that. Did that work? I don't know what I mean. But what I mean is like
this. Unless you drop the stuff.
What I mean is that everything. One of the greatest preparations for Pesach is what we're talking about tonight, which is spirit looking for something, you know, hopeful. Don't lose that in the preparation. Don't lose that in preparation. The two things that I would add, and I was saying this is completely, if my wife was here, this is what she would say. She would blow me off about the first two, like anybody else. But these two, she would say, which is that preparation to music is different. You know, when you fill your house with music when you're preparing for Pesach, it's like when there's sunshine pouring through the window instead of rain and clouds. It makes a difference. You can laugh. It's good for Erev Shabbos. It's good for all the time. It's good for when they're doing their homework. It's just, it's different. We are influenced by our environment. And engaging children positively and doing the work with you, way beyond their years. Not just cleaning their room. Cleaning their room, I don't know, you know, some kids who like to be very neat enjoy cleaning their room. But doing something for the general effort, preparing something that everybody will enjoy, that they'll be able to look at the Seder and say, oh, thank you to so-and-so for doing this for all of us. And engaging in that. And you know, the sense of being involved again in this wonderful, wonderful process to lead to this celebration of Simcha at the special privilege in the place which we have. Now, Miriam packed a musical instrument. Just, you know, like, what would you think about when you're... You know, if I would be saying this to them, they would say, of course, she probably also had three other suitcases, you know, that, that would. But that's what you have to prepare for. For Geula, you have to prepare to sing. You have to prepare to dance. That's what you have to prepare for.
That's what you have to prepare for. And you're the one. You're the ones. The men don't do it and they won't do it. So I wish you Hatzlacha Be'ezus Hashem. Should be truly a Chag HaOvir. Should be a Yontov of springtime, of hope, of aspirations that bring our families together, that bring our nation together. And so, Chag HaOvir, Shalem, I've been here. Amen.